Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
We are into our final hour of the program, originating from Dallas and the baseball winter meetings. The winter meetings have essentially wrapped up. There is still a little bit more media work that is going on. MLB Network continues to be live. We can see them down way far to our right. The Yes Network, which is the Yankees network in New York, appears that they're still going live. But basically everything is done, and people have been leaving Dallas throughout the day. Started to see members of the Cardinals contingent leave early on, and then once the Rule 5 draft wrapped up this afternoon, that was essentially it for the front-facing events that were going on here at the baseball winter meetings. Rule 5 draft was kind of a nothing burger for the Cardinals today. They picked up some players and lost some players in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft, but what they, when it comes to the major league phase, they did not select anybody. They did lose one player. Connor Thomas was selected by the Milwaukee Brewers, so he is going to have to be on the Brewers active roster, or he has to be offered back to the Cardinals. And generally, if the Brewers are going to select a pitcher like that, they feel pretty good about it, and we'll see what they're able to do with Thomas. Obviously, the track record of the Brewers in developing pitching and everything, pretty good. So for Thomas, that might turn into a blessing and a real benefit to him that he goes to that organization. Just reading some of the quotes that have come out of Milwaukee after that selection, people seem to be pretty happy about that selection. Still coming up this hour, Ricky Horton's going to join us in just a few moments. We'll talk through Cardinals alumni stuff with him, his responsibilities here at the winter meetings. In addition to working with us from a radio standpoint, he also did some alumni stuff, so we'll talk with him. And then Sam Levitt, the Padres pre- and post-game radio host, he is going to join us as well. We'll talk about the Padres and Mike Schilt and maybe Nolan Arenado to San Diego. Could that be a thing? If it was a thing, he's probably not playing third base anymore, so we'll get into that. Also, just one more time, and we'll continue to follow this story as we go along through the evening, but didn't want to just gloss over it. We talked about it towards the end of last hour, and you heard Maria mention it during the newscast. Really sad news that we learned that St. Louis soccer icon, national soccer Hall of Famer, a former SLU player, a guy who played for the U.S. men's national team, captained the U.S. men's national team, did about everything that you can do in soccer, and was an amazing ambassador for soccer and St. Louis soccer. Pat McBride passed away, 81 years old. It came on very suddenly, according to his family, in a statement that they released. So no real way to talk about these types of things when we're talking about other stuff, but just incredibly, incredibly sad news that somebody that, when you think of the all-time greats in St. Louis sports history, you talk Pat McBride, for sure, especially for this community, this city, and what it means to the sport of soccer, and for Pat McBride, just incredibly sad news, and the fact that it was unexpected, just nobody saw this coming. So we'll follow along with this as we go along today, but just want to make sure folks heard about that and know what's going on. No real way to transition, so we'll just go back into it. Baseball today. We were talking with Greg Amsinger last hour, and that was a lot of fun. he thought more stuff might happen at the winter meetings. And last year, nothing happened. Last year, absolutely nothing happened, seemingly. It was just, it was so slow, not just for the Cardinals, but for all of Major League Baseball. I thought this one was a little bit busier. And I think it's good when that happens because there's so much focus on what's taking place here. The Crochet deal today where he's going from the White Sox to the Red Sox, that was arguably the biggest thing that happened. But you know, the Max Fried contract with the Yankees, he got $218 million. That's the most that a left-handed pitcher has ever gotten. That's legit money. And I think the Yankees become a really interesting story now because they did not get Juan Soto. So what happens? Fried is probably just part number one of many dominoes that are going to end up falling. And they have that money ready to go for a Juan Soto. Not that they're going to spend all of it, but how do they go about reallocating that money? I think that's a storyline that's going to continue to play out. Nathan Eovaldi goes to the Rangers. 3-year deal, $25 million per year. Essentially, he gets the Sonny Gray contract, and Sonny Gray is better than Nathan Eovaldi, and that just continues to show you that the price of pitching is continuing to go very, very, very much in an upward direction. Clearly, the best thing that happened to the Cardinals over these few days was the fact that they moved up so much in the draft lottery where they're going to have a top five selection in the amateur entry draft. That was not an expected development. They went in with basically sitting in that number 13 spot, and they were able to move up significantly. So that is a good thing for them. All right, here's what's coming up before we get done in this hour. Ricky Horton will join us next. Sam Levitt will join us after that. And then we'll kind of put the final touches on what we've been doing out here in Dallas for the baseball winter meetings. But we've still got a lot more coming up. You don't want to go anywhere. Our exclusive coverage from baseball's winter meetings. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Dallas. And we're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX. Our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to come your way from Dallas, Texas in the baseball winter meetings. Bluntly, winter meetings are, they've pretty much wrapped up. The Rule 5 draft happened earlier today, and that was kind of the final official thing. So people have been floating around. There's been a deal or two that has been announced or reported on as the day has gone along. More and more folks you've seen with their suitcases. They've made their way out of the Hilton here in Dallas, and winter meetings are pretty much done for the year. Our first countdown to opening day show is going to be coming your way tomorrow night here on KMOX, and of course across the entire Cardinals radio network. That's going to be coming up on Thursday evenings. For the most part, there's going to be a time here, a time there where we're going to push it back to Friday here on KMOX due to other programming obligations on a Thursday night. But generally speaking, here until the start of the season, you can put it on your calendar. You've got Countdown to Opening Day with Mike Claiborne and myself coming your way on Thursday night. So we've been here at the winter meetings, and you've heard a little bit from Claibs over the last couple days, and also from Ricky Horton. Got the chance to talk with Ricky earlier today. Wanted to discuss with him something that he was part of. So he was here, obviously, to do radio stuff, but what also brought him to the winter meetings, his first time ever attending, was that he came on behalf of Cardinals alumni. And the Cardinals alumni group, if it's not the best in baseball, it is one of the best for baseball, or maybe tied for best in baseball. Pretty incredible, all the different activities that go on involving alumni. You've got Fantasy Camp. You've got Cardinal Caravan. You've got Winter Warm-Up. You've got Budweiser Bashes that happen during the year. I feel like there's more stuff that I haven't even mentioned. I mean, it is incredible what goes on with the alumni, and it's very, very cool to have the engaged alumni with the Alumni Association. So something that's really special. Got the chance to talk with Ricky about the event that he was part of, as all the different alumni folks did come together just to kind of throw ideas off each other. There were different presentations and things like that. So as I talked to Ricky earlier today, I did ask him about the alumni meeting, very long alumni meeting. It was a full day thing yesterday, what it was like for him being part of that.
Yeah, it was actually wonderful to be a part of a very long meeting with every alumni representative for every team in baseball, and they all gave a presentation about what they do to keep alumni engaged in the organization. And that's everything from fantasy camps to winter warm-up type things to alumni events, weekends and things, and Hall of Fame. And it was just really a best practices kind of thing, but it was good for me to send in on that. And we actually had a panel of five former players. I got to be on that, where they asked us, you know, how can we serve alumni better, and what are we doing that you like? And I just think it was it's very helpful. You know, it's kind of thing that can happen at a place like this, the winter meetings, where you can get people who are like-minded together and sharpen each other a bit.
It's a pretty special group of alumni for the Cardinals who are very involved.
Yeah, and I think that kind of came through in these meetings, is the fact that the Cardinals do a lot, and they haven't just started doing a lot. It's interesting. There are some teams, and it's it's just the way it is. There's some teams that are building what we're talking about. I mean, they have one person that's kind of doing seven jobs, and one of them is alumni communication. They don't have a fantasy camp. They don't have, you know, a Hall of Fame thing set up the way we do. But so, you know, the Cardinals got a head start on that, I would say, and they've been dedicated to it. And, you know, I think it's important. We have another very positive thing. We have, 58 former Cardinals that live in the greater St. Louis area, and some organizations don't have that many alumni nearby. So if they're going to do an alumni event, they're flying them in. They're, it's just more complicated. So, certainly we have alumni that we want to fly in as often as possible, guys like David Eckstein, Ray Lankford. But the point is, we've got a little bit of an advantage there, but the advantage came from St. Louis just being a good place to raise your family after your career.
It should be noted, the Cardinals allocate resources. There's multiple people who are connected to alumni. A lot of teams have a random salesperson that does alumni stuff, or a random PR person that does alumni stuff.
Yeah, unless you've got somebody dedicated to it. And, of course, there's resources involved in that, too. Yeah. I mean, you got to have a budget, and you got to have, you got to fly guys in, you got to find connections. Now, it's one of the things that was talked about quite a bit is how you kind of tie in alumni presence at the ballpark with, corporate help, and with, make it kind of have some return on investment in terms of players being there and helping out, maybe a corporate thing that gives the player some incentive to be at the ballpark too. But really what it came down to me was the importance of two main things for me personally since I got out of playing. And one of them is the caravan. The caravan has been a great source of connection and inspiration for me as an alumni, but also fantasy camp. Those two things are real connectors, and it's one thing if it's transactional, mm-hmm. and it's another thing if it's connecting, and the Cardinals do a good job of actually both.
Was there anything specific that another team did that you took note of?
Well, yeah, actually the Atlanta Braves are way down the road with things too. The Atlanta Braves, in fact, a former teammate of mine, Greg McMichael, runs their alumni department as a former player, and he's awesome. He's terrific, been doing it a long time. Good friends with Joe Pfeiffer, Larry State, who do it with the Cardinals. But they're making more connection in grassroots, youth leagues, and tournaments and all that to brand the Cardinals at the baseball level in the community. And I think that's maybe a down the road thing for us.
Last thing for you, this is your first experience at the baseball winter meetings. Sum it up for me what you thought.
Yeah, I think it is what I thought it would be. I mean, it's just a lot of people and a lot of things going on at the same time. And, when you first get to this, or when I first got to it, I'm like, I'm looking over my shoulder to the left, to the right, to the left. I'm trying to kind of make my way. But I think you recognize that it's the cadence of a really big industry that's connecting on multiple levels, and I would think very enjoyable to be here. And I understand it's not the way it used to be, not as many trades and all that stuff at winter meetings, but I think still valuable.
Ricky, thanks for the time.
You bet, Matt.
That's Ricky Jordan, of course, part of the Cardinal Radio Network, and he has been with us here in Dallas over the last few days, and glad to be able to spend some time with him. Glad for him. I always got the sense from Ricky that he wanted to kind of experience the winter meeting, so got the chance to do it sort of in a dual role, doing the alumni stuff that he just talked about, and also being able to be here and do radio stuff with Klaibs and myself. So it was good. There's a little bit, like, I'm not trying to just, like, pat myself on the back or pat ourselves on the back would be the better way to say it. But certainly there is some pride that goes along with the fact that KMOX/Cardinals Radio Network, the only broadcast outlet from the St. Louis market to be here at the winter meetings. A lot of print folks made their way in. The Post-Dispatch and MLB.com and The Athletic and the Belleville News Democrat with various writers were all represented here in Dallas. And the group of folks that cover the Cardinals is as good as they come. But just the fact that There is still a commitment to being here from a broadcast standpoint for both KMOX and Cardinals Radio Network. I think it's important. Do want to say thank you to the folks at Goodwill, as they're a big part of us being able to be here. Goodwill, give local, give hope, give Goodwill. Without them, we probably would not be here, so we appreciate that, and hopefully you've been able to enjoy all of our coverage. We're not done yet, though. We've still got a fair amount of time left here on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Here's what we've got coming up next. Our good friend Sam Levitt is going to join us. He does pre-post for the San Diego Padres. He's up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we are here on our final day at the baseball winter meetings, and somebody that we always like being able to talk to before we get out of here is Sam Levitt, pre-post fill-in play-by-play guy. I can say that now, which is really cool for the San Diego Padres, part of the Odyssey family there in San Diego, and a guy with some St. Louis ties as well. Sam, always great to see you.
Matt, great to see you. Always a lot of fun here at the winter meetings. Great to see all the familiar faces, whether it be you or Mike Claiborne, who I had the chance to talk with a little bit earlier today. Great to see the people from St. Louis, and always a fun few days.
It was a cool moment. I don't know if my listeners care about this, but they're going to hear about it nonetheless. It was a really cool thing yesterday because you and I, when we were in minor league baseball at different times, had the same general manager, you in one spot and me in another. And we're both part of Major League Broadcast now, and we were in minor leagues. And just the three yesterday, when the three of us were kind of standing and talking for a few moments, I just like got a. That's what the winter meetings for me is all about. Like, I loved that moment for all, because I walked up and you went, "How do you know Tony?" Right. And you didn't realize it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's what it's all about. It's really cool to connect with people here and check in with people and catch up with people that I've worked with along different stops of my baseball journey, and you the same. So it's part of the fun of the winter meetings, obviously, the transactions, the rumors, and we've got a lot going on the last couple of days here as far as transactions and rumors. The stove is hot, as they say. That's all great, but I do think just catching up with everybody, getting everybody in one location, seeing somebody like Tony Enser, who is my GM in Amarillo, and your GM before that, it's really cool. And it just makes you really appreciate the relationships you build throughout baseball, you build throughout this business. And it really is a fun few days in that sense, for sure.
There's a lot of Cardinals fans who have affection and affinity for the Padres because of Mike Schilt, who is still a very popular figure in St. Louis. What has it been like for you getting to know Schilt and working alongside of him?
Mike's been great so far, and he did a terrific job in his first season. They won 93 games. A team that, you know, was up and down in the first half and really stayed the course and found a way to catch fire in the second half. And, to, you know, in my opinion, they gave the Dodgers about the best shot anybody did during the postseason. So Mike's been great. You know, everything I heard about him before his first season, he's about the fundamentals. He relates really well to his players. A lot of positive things that I've heard heading into the season. You know, those were certainly true during the course of the season. And personally for him, he was rewarded with a contract extension at the end of the year. So he's been great, did a really, really good job, very personable with the players, with the media, with the front office, and looking forward to what Mike Schilt has in store for year two in San Diego.
The last year for the Padres was kind of interesting because obviously the year before spent a ton of money. Some of those contracts went away, and it looked like, okay, maybe they're going to reduce payroll. Then they jumped right back in, and they added. Like, it's they keep spending money even when it seems like maybe they're not.
Yeah, they're in a pretty unique spot, I think, right now. Obviously, they have invested a lot into the team. They've got a star-laden roster between Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez and Michael King, who had a terrific first year as a full-time starter. And the list really goes on and on. Jackson Merrill, who, you know, was a rookie of the year.
He should have won the rookie of the year.
To me, he should have won, but certainly Skeens was deserving as well. It was a rare year where both guys were really deserving, but he was unbelievable as a 21-year-old in the major leagues. But I bring all that up to say they've built a very, very good core that I think has them set up nicely to compete once again, to maybe win 90-plus games again in 2025, despite them right now having some holes and some needs, like it really every team does. The unique part about them is that the rumblings here at the winter meeting, some of the reporting in the last 24, 48 hours, has been about the payroll. And essentially, the Padres may be trying to actually get down from where their projected number is based on arbitration projections. They may be trying to stay under the first luxury tax threshold, and you pair that with some of their needs, and it starts to, I guess, get hard to see how they could improve their team without maybe trading a piece on their major league roster, let's say like a Dylan Cease. There are a lot of rumors about him the last day or so, because that would free up money. You'd get prospects back. And this is how I'll wrap it up. A.J. Preller, who did a phenomenal job last year. I thought he should have won Executive of the Year. That's how good of a job he did. He is as creative as they come in baseball, in you know, coming up with really creative ways to make his team better and acquire talent. We see it time and time again with AJ. He's super aggressive. He's very creative. And typically he has a plan. So it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with maybe some pretty significant financial constraints. Not that the Padres' payroll is low. It's a good-sized payroll, you know, upper echelon of Major League Baseball because of the big contracts they've given out the last 5-6 years. But right now, for next year, they may have to get creative. So it's going to get interesting to see how they fill the needs. But I do think they're in a pretty good spot from where they're starting heading into this offseason.
Do you see a scenario where Nolan Arenado would fit on the San Diego Padres?
If he wants to play first base, I mean, sure. You know, look, they need a first base DH type to pair on the right side of the infield with the mix of Cronenworth and Arraez, who also plays first base and can play second as well. Look, they sort of need that spot. I know the rumblings have been Arenado's willing to play first base. I can't imagine he's going to play third. Padres have a guy named Manny Machado there who who's one of the faces of the team. I don't think Manny's moving. So if he wants to play first and DH some, could see that. Maybe. Who knows? But, I mean, there. I guess there is a potential fit there, potentially, if he wants to play first base.
That doesn't go along with the narrative of lowering payroll, though, because that's what the Cardinals are trying to do.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good point. So, look, you know, again, the payroll speculation has been pretty rampant here at the winter meetings about where they might try to stay under. Could they go over the luxury tax and increase it? I guess anything's possible. But you make a good point that that would maybe go against some of the other things we've heard. So we'll see. Just from a baseball standpoint, yeah, you could find a fit for Nolan Arenado.
Sam, always great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely, Matt. Great to see you. Keep up the great work on KMOX. I remember listening to KMOX when I was with the Gateway Grizzlies and driving around St. Louis. So always good to be with you, and best of luck with everything coming up this season.
Same to you as well. And you got to do some games this past year, and that was, you know, all of us who worked in the minor leagues, when one of us gets the chance to do that, we're all so happy for each other. So
absolutely.
I remember when I saw that social media post that you were going to get fill in on Padres games, I can't tell you how excited I was for you. So I'm glad you got the opportunity.
Well, same to you, Matt. I know you've had the chance to do some games as well. And you're right. It's always good to see people who worked in the minor leagues and have worked really hard for those opportunities get them.
That's Sam Levitt. I'm Matt Pauley. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Well, for one final time, we come your way from baseball's winter meetings in Dallas. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, starting to wrap things up. What a fun show today. Great group of guests with Bernie Miklas and Greg Amsinger. And this hour, we got to hear from a couple folks, got to hear about alumni stuff with Ricky Horton, Sam Levitt, one of my favorite people to talk baseball with, joining us just a little while ago. So hopefully you've been able to enjoy that and just enjoy all the coverage. We'll be getting out of here, but we have been collecting interviews and all kinds of other stuff over the last few days. Mike Claiborne and myself and Ricky as well for our inaugural edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow at this time, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. All of that originating from here in Dallas in the Hilton, home of this year's baseball winter meeting. So as we do start to wrap things up, and a reminder for you, a couple reminders for you, actually. First off, we do have the Gas House Gang coming your way in just a few moments here on the program. Today, it is myself and Tom Ackerman. So that's going to run from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight. And we go through much of what is going on here at the baseball winter meetings. If you want to get the Gas House Gang on demand, it is now available in podcast form at all available major podcast platforms. So whether you listen on Apple Podcast or on Odyssey or Spotify, whatever, you can find it. Just do a search for the Gas House Gang, and it's got its own channel now. So that's going to be available for you. That's the first thing to mention. Also, do want to mention once more that us being here in Dallas, a big part of it is the support of Goodwill. Give local, give hope, give Goodwill. So we appreciate them. Just in the final couple minutes here of the program, wanted to take the opportunity to kind of reflect on what happened over these few days. And it was once again, from a Cardinal standpoint, I think it was a quiet winter meetings. But there was a headline that came out of it. The headline was not based off a move, but the headline was something that we officially learned, maybe not technically learned, but officially learned, and that was the first night on Monday evening when Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak said that it is his intention to trade away Cardinals third baseman Nolan Arenado. So again, I want to be really clear with this, because I mentioned this yesterday. The reaction to that surprised me a little bit, because that had previously been reported. Nothing actually changed when Mo said that, outside of the fact that a Cardinals official was on the record saying it. The information was already out there. And I know some people choose not to believe reported information, and that's fine. I'm not saying that everybody gets everything right. In fact, there's been a couple things that have been reported since we've been here in Dallas that I think have been not quite 100% spot on. But that reporting was good, and it was coming from multiple people. Specifically, we were hearing it from both Derek Gould and Katie Wu. So it was true. We knew that it was true, and now it was on the record. So where does that take us from here? A move's got to get done sooner than later. John Mozeliak does not make those comments if he is not 100% confident, or at least 99.999, just keep going with those nines for a while, percent chance that he feels like he can get deal done. There would be no reason to say it publicly if you're like, you know what, 50-50, we get this deal done. You have to be incredibly confident that the deal is going to get done. So that's why I think it's going to happen. I just do. And I am convinced that it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen before Christmas. Maybe I'm wrong on that. That one I'm not 100% on. But this is one of those things that's now just kind of hanging out there. And if you're the Cardinals and you're everybody else involved with it, you want to figure out what it looks like moving forward. You know, when I was talking with Greg Amsinger earlier, he kind of just, you know, flippantly said that he expects the team to trade Ryan Helsley and to trade Eric Fetty and maybe even trade a Wilson Contreras. And I thought that was interesting how that just kind of rolled off the tongue. I'm not convinced of, and I think he mentioned Sonny Gray as well. I think any of those guys could potentially be moved. Even guys like Gray and Contreras who have indicated to the Cardinals that they want to stick around and they've got no trade protection. If things were to go badly for the Cardinals to start the season, and look, they've had bad starts to the season each of the last 2 years. If they have a bad start to the season and somebody else in the division has a really good start to their season, I don't close the door on many of those guys being moved. I don't think Ryan Helsley's getting traded anytime soon. I just don't think the market's going to be there for him. You got to sell high on Ryan Helsley. You have to sell really high on Ryan Helsley. And there are too many high-end, high-leverage, many under the category of closers available right now. So you have to get to a market that has a little bit more desperation than it has right now. With Eric Fetty, I think the market might get to desperation sooner than later. When you see so many of these pitchers coming off the board, it's going to be very soon that teams are going to be out there feeling like they didn't do enough to augment their starting rotation. And they're going to circle back with the Cardinals on Fetty. And that's one where if the Cardinals get blown away by a deal, they gotta execute that thing. And not that I don't want Eric Fetty to be a Cardinal, not that I don't think that he could do a nice job as a number two starter. I think the upside of moving him outweighs whatever he's going to give you this year. And that's not me being dismissive of my expectation of Eric Fetty. That's me being very bullish on what I expect the return to be for a Fetty. It's not going to be like the return that the White Sox got for Garrett Crochet. But at the same time, if there's some desperation out there and you've got some teams that have a lot built up into their farm system, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if the deal, if that turned into one of the bigger deals, kind of that it's not the upper echelon type trade that you're going to see. It's not the Garrett Crochet deal, but it is that it's that next level, that next tier of deal connected to prospects. So I don't know when that would end up happening. I thought that the person that was maybe most likely to get moved over the course of these meetings was Steven Matz, and he has not been moved. In many ways, the Cardinals spoke. In many ways, the Cardinals spoke as if one of the existing starting pitchers isn't around anymore. And I was about to say they were speaking like Matz wasn't around, and that's not completely fair. That's not a true way of putting it. But there was a joke when they were doing their media availabilities between Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak on the first day in. There were some, because they do them in like order, like they all of them did
like?
Us, the what you'll hear on Countdown to Opening Day, and then MLB Network Radio and MLB Network, and eventually going to more of a scrum with the assembled media. So there was some messaging going on, and at one point somebody asked somebody else, well, you know, ask Ollie or ask Mo about who the fifth starter is going to be, and just that sort of narrative kind of presented this positioning as if they don't know for sure. And right now they've got a full starting rotation without even Michael McGreevy being a part of it. Right now you can sit there and you can look at Sonny Gray at the top and then Eric Fetty and Andre Pallante and Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz, and then you still have Michael McGreevy as somebody who could slot in, and you've got some other guys as well. So in some ways, it feels like they've already moved on from somebody based off the reporting that's been out there. You would think that that person would be Steven Matz. Thought that maybe they would get a deal done for him. The Cardinals contingent is long gone. In fact, I saw some folks leaving. This is the hotel lobby today has been a busy day of just people getting their luggage and making their way out of here, and it's been happening since this morning. So some folks stuck around for the Rule 5 draft, some didn't. But in many ways, it felt like the meeting sort of wrapped up, not yesterday, but you get what I'm saying. Today was definitely kind of a slow down period when it comes to the meeting. So I don't know. I think a Matz deal probably gets done at some point in the near future. I think a Nolan Arenado deal is likely to occur. But when it actually happens, I don't know. I don't have an answer on that, and we'll just have to wait and see. So I say all that to say this. I pontificate for 10 minutes to say not much happened over the last 3 days. We have confirmation that the Cardinals want to trade Nolan Arenado, and that is the extent of what we know coming out of the winter meetings. And it could be an interesting couple weeks leading into the holidays, and then coming out of the holidays, before you know it, it is going to be a winter warm-up weekend. I said this yesterday. Let me finish this with this real quick. I said this yesterday. I do think the Cardinals are still going to add major league contracts to the roster. I think they got to get the Arenado thing figured out. I think they got to get a couple other things figured out. But as much focus as there's been on young players getting runway, I do think that there's going to be maybe like a major league reliever or something that added at some point in time. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Thanks so much for being tuned in with us, not just tonight, but for the course of the entire 3 days that we were out here. Again, Countdown to Opening Day, the inaugural edition for this offseason, is going to be coming up tomorrow night. Myself, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, and coming up next, we've got the Gas House Gang, myself and Tom Ackerman recording that earlier today. So that's all coming up. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line in Dallas at baseball's winter meetings right here on KMOX.